Audi. Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you, and we would love to hear from you on this edition at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. If you're struggling with some life issue, or if you have a Bible question, something you can't quite unravel, well, we're here to help, and we need your call right now. So give us a call at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We're talking about hope this month. Hope is certainly needed. Lots of people out there searching for some hope right now in their lives. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Always good to have you. We've been talking about a Washington Post survey this week that I came across a couple of weeks ago. And in that survey, it says 50% of Americans admit to feeling down, depressed, or hopeless. And that's certainly a much higher percentage this year than ever before. They also said that 33% of Americans are showing signs of clinical anxiety and depression. And the writer of the article said this: it's not normal for this many Americans to feel depressed. So we know people are looking for hope, and we find a lot of it in the gospel, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, we find it in a most unusual way as well. You know, when I was a kid, I used to make promises with my brother. We would swear. Sometimes we would even act like blood brothers, you know, where you prick your finger and make an oath together. And then next thing you know, you better keep that promise, man, because that was for real, right? Well, in the gospel, we discover that there is a promise that was written in blood, so to speak. It was made through blood. It was made through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 6 talks about this incredible oath. It says that God could not swear by anyone greater, so he swore by himself. And this promise between God and God, this promise between God and Christ, really is our hope. And the scripture even says that it is our anchor for the soul, and we have this hope as an anchor. And that's what we're talking about today, because, you know, with an election going and the result being uncertain at this time, people might be tempted to look for hope in Washington, D.C., and half of the nation will be disappointed tomorrow morning, perhaps, when we wake up and don't like the result. But, you know, Bob, what I love about this is that we're really seeing that our hope is not in a nation. Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in the promise that he made to himself. That's our anchor. That's what we can rely on every day.
Absolutely. And like I said, this is what shapes our day-to-day life. You know, John talks about hope as well. Whoever has that hope purifies himself. In other words, this hope that is held out for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is based upon the very promise of God and his faithfulness to carry it out, that gives us kind of a new motivation, a different way of looking at our day-to-day lives, and it reshapes us into a form where we're really living out who we are in Christ Jesus. So this is the power of the hope of the gospel. And it's something that we all need in our day-to-day lives, something that we all need to lean into in order to get through all the trials and tribulations of life, and to get through them with a perspective that can only come from God himself.
And if you feel like you have been disheartened, you've been disillusioned or discouraged by the circumstances in your life, well, to that we say, yes, we've all experienced those emotions, the depths of despair. But at the end of the day, we are proclaiming something that is unshakable and unbreakable, the love of Christ. Nothing separates us from his love. And so the hope of being loved today and the hope of being loved tomorrow, no matter what. That's not a maybe type of hope, like I sure hope God loves me. No, this is an assurance. It is an assurance of the invisible but very real love of God found in Jesus Christ. It was quite visibly demonstrated on the cross and through the resurrection. And today, Bob, that love is visible in us, poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we have this hope today as an anchor for the soul. And my goodness, that is a sure and steadfast hope that is greater than any other thing on this planet can offer us.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you if you're struggling in your particular life, you're looking for some hope, or you have some questions about the Word of God, you have some questions about anything and everything. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Again, the number 844-322-2742.
Andrew, we talked about it yesterday on the program that you and Bart Millard, leader of the band Mercy Me, collaborated to write the book called The Hurt and the Healer. Well, we're saying thanks to our donors this month by sending them a copy of your excellent book. Andrew is co-author. What is the message of The Hurt and the Healer?
Well, we all grow up with imperfect parents. We all grow up with imperfect circumstances. And at some point, we start experiencing things like fear and shame and maybe loneliness. Some of us come from broken homes. Others have had broken hearts. We all hurt, and we all need lasting healing. And so in this book, The Hurt and the Healer, Bob, Bart and I are talking about how Jesus can actually be the comforter that he says he is, the counselor that he claims to be. It's interesting that we all sign on the dotted line and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe the cross and the resurrection. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. But then, whether it's 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years later, we begin to struggle with life's circumstances and we look elsewhere. And we start looking to other remedies and other ways of finding healing. And this book is saying, you know what? Jesus is not just Savior and Lord. He is our life, and he truly is the answer to every human problem. And so, I'm excited that Basic Gospel, that we're doing this, for any gift that is brought into the ministry coming up. There'll be a website, basicgospel.net, where you can click on the give link and find out more about this thank you gift that we're going to be giving to our donors. And it's an exciting thing, because whether you read it or maybe you read it and pass it on to someone else who's also hurting, I think it's going to be a really, really helpful healing tool in people's lives.
I couldn't agree more, Andrew, and thank you for that input about the book, The Hurt and the Healer, by Andrew and Bart Millard. And friends, we want you to have a copy. As Andrew said, you can go online to basicgospel.net, click that big prominent donate link right on the homepage. We want you to partner with us, because this is the message. Well, we had this question from Jeanette, guys. She says, God the Father made a new covenant with Jesus Christ through his son, through his son's perfect sacrifice and sinless blood. I am invited to partake of this covenant simply by believing and receiving. So the question is, God made this covenant with Jesus, not with me, even though I am invited to enter in. Am I understanding this correctly?
I think she's got a pretty good understanding, don't you, Andrew?
Absolutely, yes, that is it. And, the reason for that, the reason it works this way, is a very similar reason to what we saw in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve were created, they were given a perfect situation, and yet they could choose. They chose to rebel, then death ensued. Jesus comes along and offers life. They don't have to take it. We don't have to take it. There are people today that dig their heels in and resist the gospel. That's why this same letter, Jeanette, this same letter of Hebrews is saying today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So there's a choice there. There's an option for all of humanity. We can call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, Or we can be stiff-necked and say Jesus is not who he says he is and I don't believe that stuff and forget him. Well, you know, it's not that God is being mean. It's just that if you don't choose life, then you don't have life and you remain in unlife, otherwise known as death. So, you know, I kind of liken it to people that are on the Titanic and it's sinking and they're drowning. And if a lifeboat shows up, you don't complain about the color of the lifeboat. You don't complain about the fabric that the lifeboat is made out of. You just get in the lifeboat. And it's because that's the rescue that you have. You could analyze it to death or you could jump in. And so when Jesus says, I've come to give you life, many people are saying, well, I don't believe you are who you say you are, and I don't think you did this, and I don't think you did that. Well, it's not Jesus' fault here, guys. I mean, Jesus is life. By nature, he is life to us. He is the Creator God. We are meant to have him dwelling within us. And so we either call upon the name of Jesus, who is life, or we reject him and refuse him. So when we do, when we call upon his name, we enter into something that he secured, that he established. It's not about our promise keeping. It's not about our dedication and our commitment. It's not about our consistency. We enter into something called God's rest, where God promised God that he would be our Savior forever. He's able to save us completely. And it's because he lives. It's because Jesus lives to secure us forever. And so I love this. Yes, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon us. But once we're in, we are in eternal life. Not temporary life, but eternal life, because that's who Jesus is.
Yes, indeed. Andrew, let's talk a little bit about the nature of this word will or covenant. You know, the old covenant was kind of an if-then proposition. So God had his promises, and he had his terms and things that he was going to carry out. And then the people of Israel, they had their things that they were supposed to carry out. Well, they violated that contract pretty quickly. Well, this new covenant is not like that at all. It's more like a will. So you've drawn up a will, and when you die, Andrew, you have desires concerning your assets and those sort of things. And when you die, those desires are going to be carried out. So God has that will for you and me. His desire for us is eternal life, and that's bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that's why this is so radically different than what we read about in that old covenant, that covenant of law that was given to Moses.
Yeah, if there had been nothing wrong with that, then there wouldn't be a reason for this new covenant. That's what Hebrews tells us. It says, but God found fault with the people. And so the problem was never the agreement exactly. The problem was really the people under that agreement. And so they did not remain faithful, and God says, I turned away from them. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 8, when we start learning about this new covenant, we learn that it will not be like the old. It's going to be different. It's going to be special. It's going to be something that is radically different from what those Israelites experienced. And here it is. I'm going to download. I'm going to put my desires in their minds. I'm going to write my laws on their hearts. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be my people. You won't have to run around saying, know the Lord, because they're all going to know me intuitively. There's going to be this inborn knowledge of God because Jesus is God and he lives in us. And then lastly, I'm going to delete your sin record. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So notice, this is all about what God has done. It's not about what I'm doing for God. It's about what he's done for me. So the old covenant problem of their faithlessness, the old covenant problem of them not obeying well enough, that old covenant problem is solved with a new covenant solution. It's this promise, rock solid, between God and God.
Indeed. Andrew, thank you for that, and hope that's a help to Jeanette. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. We have open lines for you right now. Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. And, guys, a question that is somewhat related but posed in a, just a little bit different, different manner. This is from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms in Michigan. He says, enjoy your programs immensely and continue to pray for Basic Gospel success in reaching the lost. In Revelation we read, and if anyone's name is not found and written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20:15 from the NASB. Questions: how does one get their name written in the book of life? And the second question: at what point in time does God know that your name is going to be written in the book of life?
Well, we get our name written in there because we've expressed a faith in Christ. It's certainly not in there because of our amazing works. You know, our righteousness is like filthy rags. God's not impressed with anything that he doesn't initiate himself in and through us. And so it's our faith in Christ. I mean, again, we could look at it from one angle. How do you receive the Spirit? By hearing with faith. How do you get saved? By calling upon the name of the Lord. So if your name is in the book, it is because you've called upon the Lord. It is because you've heard the gospel and believed. And as far as, you know, when does God know that? Well, I would say he's always known it. I mean, he's God. He's all-knowing. So before the foundation of the world, God knew exactly who would come to him. That doesn't mean, like some say, it doesn't mean that God forced us into it, that he puppeteered us into obedience, that he coerced us into believing. No, there are some stringent warnings in Scripture. As I quoted earlier, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Well, whose choice is that? That's your choice. Don't harden your heart. Who is this gospel for? God wants none to perish. He wants all to believe. He wants everyone to come to repentance, Peter writes. And we need to know that. And so, you know, God's foreknowledge, the fact that God knows everything ahead of time, that doesn't preclude our choice. That doesn't prevent our involvement. I mean, God knew that Adam and Eve were going to rebel, and he created them anyway. God knew that Satan was going to rebel, and he created him. And now look at the incredible message we carry today concerning Jesus, the cross, and the resurrection. Despite all of the disaster that Adam and Eve and Satan caused, look where we are with this incredible opportunity and this incredible message of the gospel. So God works all things together for those who love him. And Bob, to me, that's just tremendously comforting. We can try to read the tea leaves and look at the status of our nation, the status of our world. We start to lose hope, but the hope is always God and that he's working everything together for us.
Absolutely. As we talked about on Monday, God is the God of hope. And so we can trust him. We can entrust ourselves to him. And really, Andrew, isn't that the Christian life? Isn't that what the Christian life is all about? I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, yet Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, that's our life, isn't it? It's a life of faith. It's a life of trust. It's a life of entrusting ourselves to the one who judges justly. It's just recognizing that God is always going to be faithful to us. He's always going to carry out his promises in our lives. And we can go through every day, regardless of what the circumstance is, with that calm assurance inside of us.
Yeah, the Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And that's what we're saying. You're not going to be disappointed. When you seek him, you find him. And when you invest in him, sowing to the Spirit, so to speak, you are going to be blown over. You're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's all about faith and trust and dependency. It's not about cranking out behavior. What God is looking at is, are you trusting me? Are you walking with me? Are you dependent upon me? This faith, that's what it's all about. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
And these are some of the things that you're going to learn in this resource that we want to want you to have this month, The Hurt and the Healer. It's our thank you gift to anyone who contributes to Basic Gospel to help us continue get this good news out to as many people as possible. When you give to Basic Gospel, you're basically empowering the proclamation of the good news through the Basic Gospel airwaves, both radio, internet, YouTube, social media platform. So we want you to be a part of what God is doing through this outreach. And this book, The Hurt and the Healer, is our way of saying thank you this month. And if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for healing in your life, if you're looking for a unshakable foundation to help move you through everyday life, this resource will be an incredible blessing to you. So you can go to our website, basicgospel.net. All the information about the book is right there. Or if you want to, you can call 844-322-2742 and request your copy, and we will walk you through that process. So don't miss out on this fabulous resource, The Hurt and the Healer, by Andrew Farley and Bart Millard.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we have a question from Patricia in Arlington, Texas. And, guys, she says, I hear that when we die, we are immediately present with the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, or Philippians 1, 23. However, these verses don't actually say that we will immediately be present with the Lord. It states that our desires are to be with the Lord, for we know that it is far better for us to be with Him. And Ecclesiastes 9:5 and 9:10 clearly state that the dead know nothing, that there is no knowledge or wisdom in the grave, and that there are various passages that refer to death as sleep. My questions are, what then is the purpose of the resurrection if we are already in the presence of the Lord, and what is there to resurrect?
Great question. Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that while we go back and we look at Ecclesiastes, for example, we do need to keep this New Testament perspective in mind. Hebrews 11:40 says that they are not made perfect apart from us, that only together with us, those Old Testament folks, those who put their faith in God, they are not made perfect apart from us. So we have to allow for some sort of grand celebration where we are all united, where we're all reunited, if you will, celebrating as the kingdom of God, the family of God. And that would be Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. And I know, you know, Bob, you and I may see things slightly different on this, but at the end of the day, we're trying to figure out, all right, how does time work, and how does eternity work? And, you know, wait a minute. Now, if I die tomorrow and you die next week, then do we both awaken to the sound of the trumpet, or does it feel like a week has passed for you? You know, the bottom line is Paul wanted to be with the Lord, and he firmly believed that absent from the body is present with the Lord. That was the hope he awaited. That was what he was torn about, wondering if he should stay longer. He wasn't thinking he'd be in some waiting room or holding pattern or circling heaven's airport. He knew he would be with Jesus himself.
Yeah, and he also even says in the book of Philippians, when he is kind of toward the end of his life and he's struggling, if I stay on, I'm gonna continue ministering to you, but if I depart, I'm gonna be with Christ, and that's much better. So I think that's where he really clarifies that we're gonna be with the Lord once we depart from this earthly body,
without question. Well, guys, thanks for that. And friends, thank you for joining us today for Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some troublesome issue of everyday living, we're here to help. Give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on Basic Gospel and get an answer for you. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And again, thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month with your prayers and with your gifts to keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Please help today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your November gift, we're going to send you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. That's donate at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll do that today because we would love to have your partnership with us as we continue to proclaim the fullness of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.